Today is the birthday of the Baal Shem Tov, and the birthday of the Baal Atanya, and the birthday of my wife. Yes, it's true. That's why I married her. And it's the yard site, and it's the yard site of the Maharal. Okay? So let's learn this piece of Maharal. It's too beautiful not to look at. So let's learn it together. And then tomorrow, Mir Tzashem, we'll move on to the next piece of Gemara, and we'll have a shiur about halachic parameters of Bittul Torah, because the Gemara has some very harsh statements at the bottom of Gimel Amud Beis about a person who is posek from Divrei Torah. When am I allowed to be posek from Divrei Torah? How much do I actually need to be learning? What's considered Bittul Torah? And what are the ramifications of that? Okay? But let's learn this Maharal on the back side of the page. There's a couple of words that are just cut off from the previous page, so let me just read the opening couple of words. He's explaining to us, the Maharal is explaining to us, the Hashem schedule and what we can learn from it. Okay? We had some individual points, but the Maharal, in his methodical way, the Maharal shows how the four sections of Hashem's day are actually responding to a mistaken notion of many philosophers. Okay? And when you read a Maharal, you have to really think about it because there's a lot more than he even puts on the page, and there's a lot on the page. This is from his Chidushei Agados, his writings on the Agadot. Okay. Here are just the first couple of words before it starts on the page in front of you. He says, "Da, you should know, ki yesh deos philosophios she'amar." There are philosophers who claim, "Ozav Hashem es ha'aretz," that Hashem created the world, but Hashem doesn't run the world. Hashem has abandoned the world. V'hu mesulak min. Okay, now you can see on the page. You see the top of the column, hatachton. You see it. There are those who claim Hashem has abandoned the world and he is misulak, he is detached from the tachtonim. Hashem is not involved in this world. All you need to know is one medrash, Tanchuma and Parshas Naso, and you know the philosophers are wrong. Hashem's greatest desire is, Nis'ave HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem's taiva, his desire was, Lios lo dira b'tachtonim. Hashem's whole desire is to dwell amongst the tachtonim, to dwell in this world. But there are philosophers who claim, we believe in God, God created the world, but God is not intimately involved with the world. So, chaver, on the art side of the Maharal, let's find out how our Gemara proves they're so wrong, and they're so wrong, and they're so wrong, and they're so wrong, four times over. Umaymer hazeh bo levar hefech daitam v'kavanosam. Says the Maharal, our piece of Agadot on Gimel Amud Beis comes to disprove them. Ki hu yisbarach eino mesulak min ha'olam, Viritzono misached im hanimtzaim. Our Gemara proves that Hashem is not detached from the world, and his desire, his involvement is very much felt with his creations. And look how the four parts of Hashem's day show how Hashem is increasingly involved in our world. It's a beautiful piece of Maharal. Vizesha Amar, Gimel, Shaos Rishon. What the world is that Hashem learns Torah. What does that mean? Ki Torah hi seder hanimtzam eich yihyu nohagim. Because the Torah is the seder. The Torah is the order of the world, how people should act, how the world should function. V'chol seder hamitzias b'chlal ha-Torah. This is classic Maharal thought. The Maharal says, everything of the world is found within Torah. Kol seder hamitzias b'chlal ha-Torah. There are many good stories that I could share about this. Many you would find to be unbelievable. Amongst them, a picture that I could show you, the hand-drawn picture of the Chazon Ish, when he was asked about a particular brain surgery. And the Chazon Ish responded to a frum doctor who consulted him on many issues of medical ethics. He said to this well-respected neurosurgeon, "You're making a mistake. If you operate in this way, the patient's going to be dead in 72 hours. Here's my suggestion." The doctor analyzed the Chazon Ish's suggestion, realized he was correct, performed the procedure in accordance with the Chazon Ish's suggestion, realized as he was performing the procedure, had he done it his way, the Chazon Ish was absolutely correct, I would have killed this guy. And we have, I could show you the picture, I have it in my office. I could show you the Chazon Ish's drawing with a letter to this doctor telling him, "Here's my suggestion." Now, how did the Chazon Ish know that? What medical school did the Chazon Ish go to know how to perform? And the Chazon Ish's answer was, "What do you mean? I learned Chulin. Yeah, but chulin tells you about shechting an animal and animal parts. There's some like overlap, but it's not exactly the same. What do you mean? Like, how did you know that? Now again, I'm not saying this lightly. I know these types of stories can rub people the wrong way. I know sometimes people say that, you know, why would a doctor listen to, what's the train? The doctor was not a fool. He obviously, like, I think I said the story in a good way. I was sensitive how I said it. He thought about what the Chazon Ish said and realized he was correct. He didn't just blindly follow him. He understood he has a responsibility as a doctor to make a good choice. But he considered the Chazon Ish because he knew that the Chazon Ish had access to all of reality through the Torah. That's a hard concept for us to understand. I'll give you another example, which you could also roll your eyes at and say is an insensitive example. But this was an example that when I felt this idea. I'm not saying this is the reason for it, but here's the example. I was once learning the Medrash Rabbah on Noach. And the Medrash Rabbah on Noach says, look how the Torah teaches us everything. All the wisdom you could want to know is in the Torah, even mundane things, like how to build a boat. How to build a boat. What are the dimensions of Noach's Teva? It's 300 amos long. Yeah? It's 50 amos wide. And it was 30 amos high. The Medrash says, from here we learn, the Torah teaches, the Ribbono Shel Olam instructs you, a safe way to build a boat. You should build a boat that its length, 300, compared to its width, 50, is six times its width, and its length should be 10 times its height, 300 versus 30. If you look in the Radal, his commentary on the Medrash, he says something about, he was reading some type of secular journal that describes, you know, techniques in boat building, and it recommended a similar thing or something like that. So when I first saw this measure from the Radal's comment, I said, I want to check the measurements of the Titanic. Now, I'm not claiming this is why the Titanic sunk, and I'm not saying, does it justify people dying and innocent? That's not what I'm doing. I'm not, you know, I know I'm young and still stupid sometimes, but like that much, I know we don't say those types of things. Who are we to say? Right? At the same time, the Titanic did bill itself as an unsinkable ship. So I wanted to see, does the Titanic fit with the Torah's recommendation? The Torah, the Lashon of the Medrash, that the Torah teaches us Derech Eretz, which means the way of the world, reality. That's the Lashon of the Medrash, in Medrash Rabbah Parshas Noach. And the Titanic's dimensions, obviously, I checked, and did not fit the dimensions of the Torah. So what, was God making a lesson out of the Titanic? You claim to be an unsinkable ship. If you don't follow the blueprint of the Torah, there's no such thing as unsinkable. There's no such thing as having mitzias outside of Torah. Again, it's much more complicated than I'm making it sound, but that's what the Maharal is saying. The Maharal is saying is that Torah is the blueprint of the world. So when Hashem studies Torah, that's Hashem interacting with the world. Let's read further. The mitzias of the world, the Seder HaMitzias is Bechlal HaTorah. V'davar zeh yadua ma'od midirei chachamim b'medrash rabos. This is well known in the Medrash. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hibit b'Torah u'bares ha'olam. Hashem looked in the Torah, and what did He do? He created the world. The Torah is the blueprint of the world. Or as the Kotzke Rebbe used to say it in reverse, the world is a perish on the Torah. It's a nice line. The world is a commentary on the Torah. You see something in the world, you have to try to say, this is like a Rashi on Torah. This is an explanation of Torah. The world is explaining Torah. Because the Torah was the map that was used to create the world. V'atorah omeris bereishis bar Elokim, v'ein reishis el haTorah, shenemar Hashem kanani reishis darko adkan. That's the Medrash. So what do you see? Says the Maharal, hare ki haTorah hi seder v'nimus hanimtzain. Torah is the order and the nimus. The nimus means what? I don't know how to translate the word nimus. What's nimus? The hanhaga. The nimus means the etiquette. The way the world is meant to function. Right? Nimus means the rules. But it doesn't just mean the rules, it means like the appropriate way to behave. The ain bazes safek. Now, So it's great. So it's Hashem interacting with the world. But says the Maharal, and this is also classic Maharal, Ve'ein bazes safek ki seder kol nivraim v'chol ha'orim olam hu b'torah. We all know as from Jews that what? There's no doubt in our mind that everything is found in the Torah. Kamosha amru in Avos, like it says in Pirkei Avos, hafoch ba v'hafoch ba dekula ba. Turn it over. There's a comment from Rav Chaim Volozhiner. Chaver's been in this year for a while. I heard this when we learned Sukkah. Rav Chaim Volozhiner says in his parish on Pirkei Avos, Ruach Chaim, on this Mishnah, hafoch ba dekula ba. Turn it over because everything is in it. You know what Rav Chaim Volozhiner says? Rav Chaim Volozhiner says, if you know Hilchos Sukkah really well, you can be matir in aguna. What's an aguna? A woman who's not able to remarry because she doesn't have a get. If you know the laws of Sukkah really well, sometimes it will help you to be matir in aguna. So you would think, Rav Chaim Volozhiner is giving like an example of how two things seemingly totally unrelated in Torah actually connect to each other and have real world implications. I don't have time now, but Rav Chaim Kanievsky says, I'll tell you how to do it. He shows us how halacha and hilchos sukkah is machshir aget. That's unbelievable. So hafoch ba dekula ba, the more you learn Torah deeply, the more you realize that every single bit of life's experience is found in the Torah. Everyone's name is found in the Torah. What you're going to have for lunch is hinted to in the Torah. Where? I have no idea. But it's merum is in the Torah. Somewhere in the osios of the Torah, it's all there. It's kolel, the entire universe. However, says the Maharal in the third wide line, ach shedavar zehu seder hanivraim rachuk me'asagas ha'adam. But here Hashem interacts with us a little bit distant. You know why? Because I just told you, your lunch is in the Torah, but you have no idea where it is. There's so much in the world that I don't know how it connects to the Torah. I don't know how this water bottle connects, where this water bottle finds its source in the Torah. I know this water bottle exists because Hashem gave us the Torah. The blueprint of this water bottle is found in the Torah. I don't know how. So I can connect to Hashem sort of through Torah, but sometimes it seems very abstract. That's what he said. Sometimes the Torah is very distant from our ability to grasp it. Lakach ein mefurash b'torah davar zeh b'feirish rak b'helum v'hester. And therefore many things of my life are not explicitly stated in the Torah, but are rather hinted to in the Torah. The Torah says, wear tefillin. Hey, I did that this morning. That was explicitly stated in the Torah. But did the Torah say, have a cup of oriental spiced tea? It did. The answer is yes. If you're nodding no, then you're kaifer. The Torah does say, the Torah says, Moshe Tzvi is going to have this cup of tea in this place at this time. I have no idea where that is. So it's a little bit abstract. Ki ha-Torah sama ha-dvarim kefi ma-shehem en ha-lambos nistaros va-gluyos mefurashos. The Torah is written in a way of concealment and in a way of revelation. Klal ha-davar, says the Maharal, the bottom line is, ki ha-Torah hu seder ha-nimtzayim, the Torah is the order of reality. Hashem knows every detail of your life. And by learning the Torah every day, Hashem says, I'm not abandoning the details of your life. God forbid that you should think that I'm detached entirely. But it's very one-sided. You understand what the Maharal is saying? It's hard to connect to Hashem in this way. Hashem knows all the information through the Torah, and he learns the Torah all day, every day, in the deepest way, and so he's connected to every bit of my life, but I don't feel connected back in the opposite direction to him in that way. He studies Torah. But we can't connect to it in an essential way. Hashem, you know what I'm up to, even though I don't really know how you know that or in what specific way you know that. What does Hashem do in the second quadrant of the day after he learns Torah? What does he do? He judges. What is judging? And how does that bring Hashem even more directly into contact with us? Says the Maharal, "Uvegimel shos shnios, nitosef achibur." The attachment gets stronger, elenimtzam, to his creations. Mashu donas hanimtzam. When Hashem judges us, now he's interacting with us. Again, it's still somewhat one-sided, But now I'm starting to feel Hashem's presence in my life. Right? Hashem is rewarding me or punishing me. He's analyzing me. Kemelech shadonis amo. Of course, it's still one-sided in a certain sense. But at the judgment, I can also speak up. I'm not going to be the one to decide the judgment. Afki ein ze adayin chibur gomer aleim. It's not completely attached. Sharei adayin hu po'el hadin b'makabel. Because Hashem is the one who is what? Who's activating the din on me. I'm just the receiver of the din. I'm the one who gets the note in the mail saying, you know, here's the psak. But at least Hashem is making direct contact with me. Ve'ein zeh chibur gomer. It's not complete attachment. Mikol makom hadavar hazeh hu chibur b'ma ela nimtzam ba'atzmam. But now I feel it touches me. When I believe that Hashem judges me and rewards me or punishes me, then I start to realize that the good thing that happened today was a letter from Hashem, was a sign from God. The bad thing that happened to me today was Hashem interacting with me directly. Again, it's still more Him leading the way, but now He's making contact. However, let's go to step three. Five lines, six lines from the bottom, seven lines from the bottom. Begimel shows shlishus. Only have a couple more lines to do in a couple more minutes. Begimel shows shlishus. What does Hashem do in the third section of the day? Nitosif achibur mashuhu pona aleim lefarnes osam. What do we say God does in the third section? He sustains mikarnei re'emim ad beitzei kinim, from the biggest animals to the smallest creatures. How is that an even greater attachment to His world, to us? V'davar zeh tosefes chibur. Shelo haya begimel shaos shnios. This is an even greater attachment, which is more so than when Hashem was judging us. Why? Shayadan osam shu nivdol min asher hudan. Because when you're judging someone, you have to be objective. The judge has to maintain a certain distance in order to maintain his objectivity. Have you here? The judge can't be nogeya bedavar. The judge has to be able to sit back a little bit to look at it, not to bring any of his own emotions to the table. But what about when Hashem is zanu mafarnes? When Hashem gives tzedakah, so to speak? I had a woman at my door this past Sunday. She said, "Do you remember me?" I said, "No, I don't remember you." She said, "Oh." She said, "I came to your house last year and you gave me $100. And she's telling me her whole story for a really long time. And I gave her money. And she said to me afterwards, she said, "You don't understand. You're so patient. You listen to my whole story. You don't understand. That's worth so much more to me than the money that you give me. The fact that you care to be, you know." So when Hashem judges, the judge has to be very cold and use his intellect. But when you're zanu mefarnes, right? I don't just put, you know, food in front of my kids. I ask them, "What would you like for breakfast? What would you like?" I care what you act. I'm actually interested in your opinion. I'm actually interested in your feelings. So in the third section of the day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, "What? I want to connect to you by actually, I'm listening. I'm not just judging in some cold, you know, standoffish type of way." V'davar zeh shu zanu mefarnes es ha'nimtzam, davar zeh hu ponel ha'nimtzam, l'teis lem kiyum. Hashem opens His wallet. Hashem opens His heart and He gives to us, to sustain us. That's already implies that there's much more of a kesher. But chaver, let's come to the last step. With this we conclude. What's the last step? What does Hashem do? Maral, it's funny because it's funny. It's Hashem laughing with the Leviathan. But it's funny to think that laughter, Hashem having a catch with the Leviathan, is the deepest connection Hashem has in this world. Learning Torah connects you on one level. Being done connects Hashem on another level. Being mefarnes connects Hashem on an even deeper level. But when Hashem has a catch, a base catch with the Leviathan, I don't know what Hashem does with the Leviathan. When Hashem tells jokes with the Leviathan, that is the deepest connection. Look at it, the last line of the right column. Kronos, who mesachekim Leviathan. When Hashem plays with the Leviathan, hascho kazeh, top of the left column, who are ratzon legamri shemisached ritzono imam. It's the deepest attachment that Hashem has with this world. When Hashem plays with the Leviathan. Chevra, what's the pshat? Laughter's a malik. Laughter can be so cynical. Laughter can be so shallow. But says the Maharal on the next page, which you don't have in front of you, I'll just tell you outside. Says the Maharal, but laughter can be messianic. Oz yamale schok pino. Laughter's not a small thing. And Leviathan, just think about the name of the Leviathan, says the Maharal. Why was Levi called Levi? What does Levi mean? What does it mean to be malave someone? escort someone, right? Malava Malka. We want to hold on to Shabbos. I want to keep my connection. Levi is a lashon of ischabrus, of attachment. Right? Liv Yosan is like Levi Tain, like give me connection. It's mamish deep connection. So chaver, what's the pshat? Hashem is mesachik im Liv Yosan. That's the deepest. So I was saying to a couple of guys in the base medrash, I think it's like this. A joke can be the most superficial thing. Laughing can be the most superficial thing. Right? But it can also be the deepest thing. When two people are really deeply connected, right, they have private jokes. They have private jokes, things that they laugh about. More important than my wife and I sharing a bank account, you know, and making decisions about where to send our kids to school and things like that, it's like the little things that we can laugh about together. That's much deeper than some of like the, in quotations, really important things we have to take care of day to day. When you're connected to someone where you can laugh over something, you can play. When I sit on the ground, you know, playing magnetiles with my son, who's 4.5 years old, there's something much deeper about that connection than learning deep Torah with you. It's true. When you're a parent, you'll understand that, even though I think you understand it already. So says the Maharal, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu plays with the Liv Yosan, that connection, right? That Ava She'en Lo Tliya B'Davar, Hashem's ability just to play with the Liv Yosan, where Hashem's not analyzing and not judging and not divvying out Parnassa or judging us, or Hashem governing through the Torah, which is the blueprint of the world, when Hashem just spends time with us and connects with us. Liv Yosan, playing with the Liv Yosan, that's mamash the deepest thing of all. So says the Maharal, this is the response to the philosophers. Our Gemara, on the Maharal's Yard site. You think Hashem's not involved in this world? Hashem is involved, and more involved, and more involved, and more involved. Okay, Chaver, we'll stop here for today. Elliot, you have a question? Let's hear a comment. Let's end with one comment. Question, yeah, let's hear. Hashem saves the Liv Yosan, because Hashem sees people could abuse the Liv Yosan. He says the Liv Yosan lives in water, because water also, shafta mayim besason, it's all, there's a certain joy that comes with that simplicity. Okay, shkoyach.